and we give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. We receive it. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. You see, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When we are in the presence of God, we are overflowing with joy. You know what the Word says? At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. So this morning, we are in the presence of the true and the living God, and we're receiving what we need from Him. We don't need a script. We don't need a formula. We don't need to wait until altar call on a program. All we have to do is, when faith kicks in, believe God for what you need, wherever you are, at any time of day or night. And this is the acceptable time. This is the time for the manifestation of the Spirit of God. So right now, by faith, receive it, receive it, receive it, and bask in it in the name of Jesus. Receive it, receive it, receive it. I receive in Jesus' name. I receive in Jesus' name. I receive right now in the name of Jesus. We bless you and we thank you for it. Hallelujah. God, we're ready for what you want to do in this place and what you're saying to your people. And we thank you for it right now. Thank you for your eternal plans that have been in effect since before the foundation of the world. And we thank you that they shall come to pass. For this we give you glory. For this we give you honor today. And for this we bless your name. So even as your word goes forth, continue to prove yourself mighty and strong and faithful in the midst of your people. We thank you now and we thank you forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. And so be it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Father. What a blessing it is to be in the house of God, with the people of God, in the presence of our living and wonderful God. It is good to see each and every one of you. Thank you to our worship leader. Thank you to all of those who presented during the course of this month for our Black History Month celebration. It has been very informative, enlightening, and inspiring. And I pray that you've been inspired by the letters and the stories that have been shared with us over the past 4 weeks. As we've said before, we could never cram the accomplishments of our people into a month or a year or a decade. These are lifetimes of impact and influences that people have had, that some that are still living are still having. And from generation to generation, I believe God wants us to have an impact on the present generation as well as the generations that follow us. Anybody believe that this morning? Amen. And again, as I've said last week, for those who are wondering, it's really still not me. It is the microphone that's kind of muffled. And I've lost my little windscreen, and so it's no telling how it's going to sound, but all is well in Jesus' name. We're going to continue in our thinking as we receive clearer vision and clearer hearing and revelation from God throughout this year. I hope that we are expecting this from the Lord. And that because we are expecting, as we mentioned last week and the week before, we're making preparations, we're making room for these things to be birthed in our lives and for these things to come to pass. The last week we looked at Haggai and along with some other scriptures, and we saw how the prophet Haggai had been sent by God to warn but also encourage God's people to stay the course, to continue to rebuild the temple of Jerusalem, to restore the city, the temple, the walls, and the city, and not to be discouraged or lose heart because things didn't appear now as they once did. And we saw that through that encouragement, God motivated and inspired his people to be strong, to stay focused, to keep on doing the work, because as they trusted God, he would bring to pass everything that he said and every promise that he made to his people. How many know that God is a promise-keeping God? Amen. He is a God who intentionally enters into covenant and agreement with his people for the purpose of blessing us, for the purpose of getting his good to us. And so apart from him, we know it's impossible for us to really do anything. How many of us know that? If God didn't reveal himself to us, we could never know him. If God didn't manifest himself to us, we could never experience him. If God didn't want to be bothered with humanity, we would never have his presence abiding. But because he loves us so much, he has chosen to make overtures to man, to reach out to us, to reveal himself to us, to send prophets to us, to make his ways known to us so that we can believe him and trust to receive what he has for us. And it's no different today, my brothers and sisters. God is the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he loves us so much that he continues to reach out, to make overtures, to make himself known, to give us his word, to give us revelation, so that we will believe him and embrace his promises. So last week we looked at Haggai. We also saw how Jesus looked over the city of Jerusalem, said, and how he really longed for them because he loved them so much. He wanted to bring them in. He wanted them to get the revelation of who he was and what he had planned for them. So it is with us, even in this generation. God wants us to get it, to get revelation, to get understanding. So he gives us his word. He gives us his spirit. He sends people with his word to encourage us to believe him. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah is the book right after Haggai. And so, you know, last week we're in Haggai chapter 2. Today we're going to Zechariah. I'm going to read just a few verses, but we may look at a bigger portion of Zechariah. It just depends on how the Holy Spirit leads. But for right now, let's start at verse 18, chapter 8, Zechariah chapter 8 and verse number 18. Zechariah 8, starting at verse number 18. I'm reading, excuse me, from the King James Version of the Word of God. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness, and cheerful feasts. Therefore, or instead, love the truth and peace. Verse 20. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, It shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Verse 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days, excuse me, it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Amen. Amen. 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. We thank God for the reading and the hearing of his word. One of the messages of Zechariah is in keeping with the same as Haggai. Zechariah, the Bible says, was a contemporary of the prophet Haggai, even though it said that he was some years younger. Ezra, the scribe, records both Haggai and Zechariah as these two prophets that prophesied and encouraged the children of Israel upon their return from the Babylonian captivity. We can see it in chapter 5, around verses 1 and 2, and also in chapter 6, around verse 14. These two prophets are described as being Haggai and Zechariah. And God sent them to encourage, to motivate, to comfort, and strengthen the people to rebuild, to put their hands to the plow, and not to be discouraged, but to continue the work. How many know we need some encouragement sometime? When you're surrounded by so much negativity, negativity in the news, in the media, people at work, unfortunately sometimes in your own family and household, when you're surrounded by so much negativity, we need sometimes somebody to encourage us. Just if it's only just to hold on and keep on believing God. God is not finished with you yet. I know things look dark and bleak, but keep on trusting God. He will never let you down. I know how it looks right now, but keep on believing in God who is faithful. And if you do, see, that helps to give us strength sometimes to keep on going. When you feel like you might be ready to give up, thank God that he'll send somebody by, or somebody with a phone call, just to say, I was thinking about you. And God wants you to know that he's with you. And not to give up, and not to quit, not to lose heart, because he's going to bring you through, huh? That's what Haggai, and that's what Zechariah did for the children of Israel. And I believe that's what God has called us to do for one another. Amen. To be that source of encouragement, to say, no, God is faithful. God will do what he said. Amen. Just keep on keeping on. Keep on believing. Keep on walking by faith. And those visions, the things that God has revealed to you, they will come to pass. And so just like we read in Haggai, where he told them, no, even though things appear bad, your latter days will be better than the former. Because everything belongs to God. Even the gold, even the silver, all the resources of the earth belong to God. Thank God we have all the resources of the earth and all the resources of heaven available to us as the children of the Most High God. And he wants us to be encouraged. And so what Zechariah does is he begins to warn them, and God gives him a series of visions, a series of messianic prophecies. It's been said that Zechariah had the most messianic messages and prophecies of any of the so-called minor prophets. If you read the Old Covenant, you know there are some that are considered major prophets, and there are some that are considered minor prophets. And the only difference, saints, is that the major prophets wrote more than the minor prophets. Their books, their prophecies, their letters are bigger. But every word from God is important. Whether you write a big volume, voluminous materials, or whether it's one word, every word from God is important. So here we see Zechariah, and he starts reminding them and showing them things that God is saying and why they went into captivity and how God is jealous over them to deliver them. And I like that in chapter 7, because no matter what the children of Israel did, that didn't change God. It didn't change God's love for them, nor did it change God's plans for them. And that's good news, because it says to me, no matter what I've done, or no matter what I'm still going to do that I don't know about yet, that God's plans for me still haven't changed. That word he gave to Jeremiah in that 29th chapter is still the same today. I know the plans that I have for you. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts to give you a hope and a future, an expected end and a great outcome. Thank God that doesn't change. Even though I may get sidetracked, or I may get distracted, or I may fall off the wagon, or I may miss the mark, thank God that his plans are eternal. And not only that, it says his gifts and his callings are without repentance, meaning he's not going to take them back. Thank God for his amazing grace. Hallelujah. Now, folks, that is not a license to sin. It's not a license to live ungodly. It's not a license to keep on down the wrong road. But it should be an encouragement and a motivation to trust God, to love him, and to obey him more. Because he loves me so much that he keeps on working my mistakes into the plan. He keeps on picking me up and dusting me off and fixing things and putting me back on the road of my destiny and destination. That should encourage us that all things still work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. We are the called according to his purpose, and he keeps on working things out for our good. Yes, as the men said, he keeps on doing great things for me. Huh? Keeps on doing great things for me. Huh? Whew, thank you, Jesus. So Zechariah reminds them that even though they've strayed away from God, and even though they're going through the motions, that God has not forgotten, nor has God forsaken them forever. But he's with them. He's going to restore them. So if you give me just a few more minutes, let's go back to chapter 7. Wait a minute. Let's just start at the beginning of chapter 8. We're not going to go back to chapter 7 because of the interest of time. But in chapter 8, he says, and the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord, the host of the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, listen, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very aged. Meaning, even though I was angry with them and I kind of turned my face for a while, I'm jealous for them, and now I'm returning and I'm restoring. And now the old men and women will again walk in the streets of the city, Jerusalem, the city of God. In other words, God is still promising to restore them. And not only will the old people of great age still inhabit the city again, but verse number 5, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Many of you remember when we used to could play in the streets. Amen. We could run and play and laugh and have fun in the streets. And if cars came and we just moved out the way and they went on down, we got back in the street and started playing. Now there are some communities, saints, and you know this to be the fact, children can't even go out of the house. The parents don't want them to go off of the porch because there's so much danger. Predators looking to grab and snatch children. People, gunshots being fired in the streets that people are afraid to even go out in the playground and play. But God promised them that even though they had been taken captive, I'm restoring you, that the old folks will be able to walk in the streets again, and the young kids will be able to play again and laugh without being afraid. God is creating for them a vision. Something for them to hunger and thirst for. Something for them to believe God for. Can you see that? I want you to know that even though you've been through this, this is what I have for you. That's why when we asked the question last week, what is the vision that you have for your family? What is God showing you for your family? He wants us to begin to seek Him so He can give us words that we can believe Him for. I know the world is cynical. We've seen a lot of mess. We are experiencing a lot of junk. Things are messed up, out of sorts, out of whack. We know it's not right. We know there's so much inequality. There's so much unfair. We know this to be the fact. Yet, we serve a God. Who is not only our God, but He's our Father. And just like He made promises to Israel, He's made promises to us. And He does it so that we can begin to see it and agree with it. We say this all the time. It's very important because it's a principle. It's a kingdom principle. I want you to see it. I want you to get the revelation for it. Get a taste for it. Begin to hunger for it and yearn for it and agree with God for it, and then get to work with God, with the Holy Ghost, to bring it to pass. Are you listening this morning? So He says the old folks gonna walk the street again. I mean real old folks. And thank God that people by and large are living longer. To God be the glory. And we thank God for that. And the boys and the girls, He said, they can play in the streets again. Verse number 6. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous, wonderful in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts? Otherwise, I want you to get excited about this thing and see this as something wonderful, something marvelous that the Lord is going to do. Because it's wonderful and marvelous to Him. That's what God is saying to us, I believe, as a people. So God is saying to us as His children, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, expect great and wonderful and exciting and marvelous and joyous things. Yes. Don't get so caught up in what's being broadcast over the airways that we allow it to get down and us to get negative and depressed and sad and fearful and worried. That's the trick of the enemy. Are you listening? To steal. To rob us of our joy. To steal our liberty. Our freedom in the Lord. To excel. To expect great things. To transform our families. So God says, no, leave that mess alone and let me speak to you. Let me reveal my plans, my will, my desires for you. And then get excited about it. People of God should be excited. The people of God should get on fire for God. The people of God should wake up out of our sleep and our slumber. The people of God shouldn't be so nonchalant and so laid back. Something ought to ignite a fire in us that gets us excited about better days, better things to come for the church, for the community, for our family, for our city, for our nation, and for the world. And that's what the Word of God does, and that's what the Spirit of God does. Anytime the prophet said it was like fire. Shut up in my bones. Something. Didn't we say the other week something got a hold of me? Something ought to move us. Something ought to stir us to action. Something ought to call us to say, yes, my family is worth it. Yes, my people are worth it. Yes, my community is worth it. Yes, the world is worth it because it's worth it to God. God so loved the world, humanity, that he gave his only begotten son. That whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We ought to get excited about souls being saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. I will save my people. From the east country, from the west country, I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. Different attitude. The mindset of God. God always talks about truth and righteousness and peace. And love, because it is the nature and the character of God. And God wants his people, his sons and daughters, to have his character, to have his nature, to have his mindset. Does that make sense, saints? So that's why he's calling us up. And so I'm not going to read all of that, but we're getting ready to wrap up back in verse chapter number 8. So that was just to paint the picture for them of how God is going to restore them. Not just restore the city, but he restores the city for the inhabitants of the city. Right? The reason you do infrastructure is for the people. Right? The reason you want running water, you want plumbing, you want gas, you want streets, is so that the people will have greater access. Huh? God so loved the world, not the planet, the people, that he gave Jesus. All of this is about humanity. All of this is about people that are created in the likeness and image of God. All of this is about humanity that God loves. So he says you're going to restore the cities so that you can inhabit them. Right? That's why it's so sad when many of our major cities are in such poor shape and in such disrepair. Because the cities are for the people. And many of the people in many of the inner cities are struggling. They're struggling because they lack money, they lack jobs, they lack resources, they lack, fair and good housing. They lack so many of the necessities that others enjoy and many waste. But God wants his people to be people that restore. That restore things, that bring things back in order. You listening? And so, at last couple of verses, back in chapter 8, we started at verse number 18, the prophet Zechariah mentions four feasts, or fast. The fast of the fourth month, the fifth month, the seventh month, and the tenth month. Now, these fasts corresponded with significant things that occurred to God's people. Babylon coming against the fifth fast, the city being burned, the temple being burned. The seventh fast was in connection with Jedediah, I believe, who was murdered, who was killed. And then this final fast, Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar coming against and besieging the city. And so all of these things were marked by solemn fast. Time of sadness and time, solemn situations. But God says to them, no, you're going to replace all of those solemn observances with joy and gladness and cheerful feast, love and truth and peace. And that's what God wants for us. Sure, we remember the hurt and the pain of the past. Even with the song we sing, drunk with the wine of the world, we forget thee and those things. We understand that. But God doesn't want us lingering in the past so debilitated that we can't go forward. Those things serve to show us where we were, where God has brought us, remembering the sacrifices of those that have gone on before us, you understand? So that now we can use that to motivate us to keep going forward. So if a people can be robbed of their history, then of course they have no point of reference. They have no bearing. They really have nothing to anchor them even in the present and to move them going forward. So the enemy seeks to rob you of your past. Amen. Amen. Of your history. Right? We talked about that some last couple of weeks. He wants to steal your history so you won't know who you are, where you've come from, and where you're going. So he tries to steal your history. And then, or taint and rewrite history. And again, we mentioned that so much of that is going on. The more you hear about it, that's even saddening that people are so calculating that they want to rewrite and whitewash our history. Just like they want to do with Israel, they want to do the same with us. Want to rob you of your history and whitewash it and kind of sanitize it that it wasn't as bad as it was, and all this stuff and all of that again is so that we won't know the truth. That's why God speaks so much about truth. That's why God says his word is truth. That's why he says you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. That's why God wants us to deal in truthfulness. That's why. Like we said, we have a lot of stuff going on in families. It's not just black families. It's people families, people groups. Because humanity in a fallen state, you know, we all gonna deal with stuff. We all have issues. We all have a past. We all deal with stuff. But one of the things that pops up still today is things that some in the families never knew anything about until someone dies. Then you find out you got all these brothers and sisters you didn't know anything about, and people coming out of the woodwork, and nobody ever told you, and they kept it a secret, and because they wouldn't tell you. We got some stuff we got to let people know what's going on. I know it might be a little troubling, it might be a little embarrassing, but some things we need to share with our people so we will know. All right. You got all these brothers and sisters in front of you. You ain't know nothing about these people. Well, I heard some whispering, but I they never tell us nothing. Okay, all right. Some of you don't even know what insurance papers are. You don't know what a will is. If you got one, you don't know what the insurance policies are. They don't want you to know nothing. You got to go searching and hunting and trying to find stuff, because don't nobody know where the important stuff is that you're going to need to go on. Got to tell it. Got to talk. Got to be somebody in the family that we've been teaching and training, that we trust enough, that can handle things, that can keep passing it on rightly. Somebody. And if not, we're not doing our job. Well, say that again. If it's nobody in the family, I'm not doing my job, because that means I didn't take anybody aside. I didn't teach anybody anything. I didn't share things with them to help them to see how it really is, so that they can know our history, our past, where stuff is that they might need. But God wants us to turn it around. God wants to change these things, because again, he wants to build up the foundations of many generations. Remember from Isaiah chapter 60, all those things that are desolate, those waste places, those barren places, those unfruitful things in our family, in our history, in our lives, God is raising up his people to be the repairers of the breach, to fix it, to restore it. Now, when God sends us in, we cannot allow the system to taint us. We've got to stay vigilant and focused on our assignment. What do you mean? Too many people with good intentions. God sending me to have a voice of God in the political arena. I go into politics and allow the system to corrupt me. Instead of staying vigilant and focused on my assignment, getting caught up in the politics and the money and the power and the party and all of these other things, and what I was sent there to do, I'm now rendered ineffective. In fact, I probably caused more harm because I allowed the system to suck me in. But we have examples. Joseph did not allow the systems of Egypt to suck him in. And because he stayed faithful to what God was doing in him, he was now positioned by God to be used effectively, not only to save Pharaoh and Egypt, but to herald the power of his God. Which is the real reason why we should enter into any arena. Yes, I'm going to get a paycheck, but more important than that, I'm going to represent the kingdom. Yes, I'm in politics, but more important than that, I'm bringing the kingdom of God into this area and this arena. Daniel did not allow three administrations that he served under to get him caught up in the system. He refused to bow. And because of that, God delivered him mightily, and the king now honors the God of Daniel. That's how he wants to do with us. So he can honor the God of Jackie. He can honor the God of Barbara. He can honor the God of Denise. He can honor the God of Eric. He can honor our God because of how we represent the kingdom. Oh man, we gotta stop, but we're not done. It's important, saints. So let's get down to this last part. So these feasts, he says, no, I want to replace these sad, solemn things that you're attached to with joy and gladness and cheerful feast, love, the truth, and peace. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. I'm at verse 20. It shall yet come to pass, glory to God, that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go quickly, speedily, at once, to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. See, as God starts turning things around, people are going to hear about it. And as people hear about what God is doing, the great exploits that the real God, the true God, the only God is doing, they're going to start talking about it. And as they talk about it, it's going to draw and compel people to search out what this God is doing. Let's look at the rest of the text. Verse 22. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. My house shall be a house of prayer for all peoples. Isn't that what Jesus said? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages and nations, even take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, that is a child of God, that is in covenant with God, that is representing God. They're going to grab a hold to his skirt and say, we are going with you, for we have heard that God is with you. That's the effect, brothers and sisters, that the people of God are supposed to have in the world. We're to so represent the kingdom of God with righteousness, with truth, with joy, with love, with peace, that people come and grab a hold to you and say, where are you going? I'm going with you. The Bible says 10 people. Huh? And they're going to grab a hold to your clothes. Where are you going? I'm going to the house of God. Well, come on, I'm going with you. Because we've heard that God is with you. How many of us believe God is with us? He promised that he was. He said he would be. His spirit lives on the inside of us. It's time for us to start drawing some people. In closing, that's why this is so important. That's why we can't live any kind of way anymore. That's why we can't just settle for average, for mediocrity, for commonplace. Because we've got to set such an example that people from every nation, from everywhere, rich and poor, will flock to the people of God saying, come on, I want to go where you going. Wait a minute, babe. It ain't time to go to church yet. I don't care. I'm ready to go now. Come on, go with me to the house of prayer. But wait a minute. Service don't start till 9:30 at church school. I don't care. I'm ready to go now. 6 o'clock in the morning. Come on. Let's go to the house of God and let's pray and let's talk to God. Come on, folks. We've got to make this shift. Amen. so that the world can flow to God. The peoples of the world can flow to God. And it starts with you and me. Making a decision that if nobody goes, I will go. Isaiah said, "Hear my Lord, send me. If nobody goes, I will go. If nobody's going to represent him, I'm going to represent him. If nobody's going to trust him, I'm going to trust him. If nobody else gets the vision, I got this vision, and I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to see children playing in the streets again. I'm going to see old folks walking around strong and doing the will of God. I'm going to see things changing in my home and in my community, and it's going to start with me." That's what the Lord is saying to us this morning. And so as we wrap up and we begin and prepare to pray, just think about it. Is that you? Is that me? Said it last week, probably week before, that nobody can make that decision for you but you. And nobody can make the decision for me but me. But if our families are important to us, if our people are important to us, if the community is important to us, and I know it is, so many of you are working in the community, serving, volunteering, sacrificing, I know it is, but if it's really important to us, let this thing begin and resonate in us, committed, dedicated, hungering and thirsting for the righteousness of God, standing on his promises, making a difference for the future of our people, for the future of humanity, for God to restore, to raise up the desolation, he said, of many generations. It's not too hard, brothers and sisters, because God is with us. It's not too hard because God goes before us. Are you hearing? We're just about done, but this is the important part. It's not too hard because God has decreed it. And because he decreed it, it shall come to pass. The question is, will I be a part of working with him in the earth to see it manifest? Will I be used by God in this end time harvest? Because it really is about souls. The harvest is still plentiful. The laborers are still few. Not that there aren't many in the families, just like some families, some people don't want to work. You know, there are some people just don't want to work. Some people want to work. Then there are some people, I don't want to work, I can get welfare. I want to work. I can get more in my welfare check than I can get working for $7.25 or $50 an hour. Why should I go to work? It just makes more sense for me to get a check. No, we work because God wants us to contribute something to the world. We work because there's value and there's worth in working. We work because my assignment is to the world beyond a paycheck. That's right. That's good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're done for this morning. Just meditate on these things. Think on these things.